This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Former employees of the Hampton Inn in Mebane are suing the hotel for wage theft. The five workers filed a complaint in Guilford County Superior Court saying the Hampton Inn owes them over $24,000 from a three-year period. All five of the former workers are immigrants from Mexico. Thomas I. McDonald spoke to the former workers and reported on the story. He's a staff writer for the Indy Week, and he is back with us now. Thomas I., welcome.
Hey, Frank, how you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, but tell us about these five former employees of the Hampton Inn and what it is they claim happened to them.
Well, in April of this year, four of the workers walked off from their jobs, basically stopped working that day at the end of their shift, never came back. They contacted Siembra, North Carolina, a grassroots organization that's chiefly comprised of immigrants from Guilford, Forsyth, Orange, Durham, and Alamance counties. And basically, they advocate on their own behalf in those communities. So what happened was Siembra, North Carolina, organized these five workers, and they filed a complaint on May 31st in Guilford County Superior Court. The complaint, the workers in the complaint claims that they were not paid for a portion of their final paycheck, vacation pay, bonuses that had been promised, mileage. In addition to that, the workers claimed that they were being treated like second-class citizens at the hotel. This was over a three-year period. A couple of the workers had been working there at least 13 years. But during this three-year period, they said that they were, among other things, not allowed to eat in the public area while they were on their lunch breaks. On snow days, they claimed that whereas the white employees were allowed to stay overnight, that they were required to leave the premises. And they had a particular ire for their direct supervisor, who they said whenever he spoke with them one-on-one would verbally abuse them by yelling at them and even cursing at them. So they filed the complaint. And on, I think, Thursday of last week, the five workers, along with about 45 supporters that included faith leaders here in the community, union leaders, ACLU members, and their families, including their children, gathered about 100 yards away from the hotel in the parking lot of the Fairfield Inn, which is also owned by the same individuals who own the Hampton Inn. And they marched down the sidewalk, holding their signs aloft, chanting, bosses down, workers up, hey, hey, ho, ho, workers aren't going to take it anymore, and so on, until they reached the lobby of the hotel. They entered the lobby of the hotel, and it was kind of humorous because, you know, you got this fairly quiet hotel lobby, and then they enter with their signs, and I could see the hotel clerk's eyes just widen, and her hand flew to her mouth, and she mouthed the words, "Oh, my God." Right? And so at that point, the workers got very quiet. And then one of the group got very quiet. And then one of the workers, Martina Robles Salazar, walked to the counter and asked to speak with the manager. And this was very important for the workers because the manager that she was asking for was the same manager who had verbally abused them during this time period. And he wasn't there. He had been there, and he left not because he knew that the workers were planning this stage demonstration, but because he had some personal things to take care of at home. So he actually left work early that day. The clerk got on the phone and she goes, Mr. Watkins, you need to, have you gotten far down the road? And I don't know what the answer was, but her response was, well, you need to turn back around.
And did he?
He assured the clerk that he was on his way back. And so the clerk told the group that had gathered in the lobby as much. And so they sort of waited. But there was a second call back to the hotel, and it was from the manager. And he basically said he wasn't going to come back. The desk clerk relayed that message to the group, and there was sort of you could hear them in unison sort of groan, and then they filed out of the hotel. What was fascinating about it to me was that the demonstration protest march took place on Thursday, but that previous days before Monday, this group of volunteers, you know, four women and one man, all from Mexico, all immigrants, all basically who had came here seeking a better way of life, better working conditions. Two of the folk who were part of the group were married, Mr. Alberto Rios Ibarra and Miss Martina Robo Salazar had came here from the state of Nayarit in western Mexico, met when they were very young in 1991, married 8 months later in 92, dreamed of coming to America to earn enough money to purchase a home in Mexico. Arrived here, and you know the story. You start having children, and you sort of plant roots where you plant your seeds. And so, but it was very inspiring to me to see this group of folk who are traditionally are among our most vulnerable residents, planning and preparing this demonstration.
Well, it's interesting too, because you said they were working, I think, as many as 13 years, but the problems seem to, from what you've discovered, crop up only in the last couple of years, and that coincided with a change in ownership of the hotel.
Exactly,
am I right?
Exactly. They talked about that too. The previous owners would bring them food, would ask them really small but meaningful questions throughout the day. How are you? Good morning. The workers said that when the ownership changed 3 years ago, that all that the owners cared about was the work being done, and that they were lucky if they even received a hello, how are you this morning.
So what are those owners? It's Joel B. Griffin Wright and Douglas L. Stafford, as I understand it?
That's correct. That's the owners of Concord Hospitality and Stafford Griffin Hospitality
in Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are they saying about all this?
Well, they not a whole lot. They issued a statement that basically said that they tried to treat all of their employees fairly, but they weren't going to comment on the complaint that
this suit
filed.
Also includes a press for damages, right?
Yes. The total amount that they're seeking is in excess of $50,000. It's not quite clear in the complaint what the damages are that they're specifying. It's described as liquidated damages.
And you're talking about, as you mentioned, a vulnerable population. We don't hear from that population, particularly when these kind of complaints happen. Mm-hmm. So this is unique and rare in the sense that these are folk who are now taking responsibility and taking the risk of going forward with a suit like this and pressing, as you say, for damages. They also and they've got a fairly good support network behind them. Mm-hmm. Who else is supporting them?
Well, there's Siembra, North Carolina, which is a project of the American Friends Service Committee in Greensboro. The ACLU has voice support. One of the unions the name of the union escapes me at this time, as well as faith leaders.
And I've only got about 20 seconds left, but this is wage theft that they're alleging in this suit. It's a big problem, and again, one we don't hear about because it's difficult to press a suit. But this is a huge problem.
Huge problem, according to the Economic Policy Institute. There's about $50 billion annually lost in wage theft. And it takes a number of forms. But here in North Carolina, minimum wage theft alone accounted for about $316 million in lost wages in 2015. So it's a huge problem. And ultimately, we all pay for it because as taxpayers, we are called upon to pay for social welfare programs that fill in the gaps.
Thomas I. McDonald, staff reporter for the Indy Week. You can find a link to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Thomas I., always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.